carried across the stage, thrown across the stage, jumped on, and have your pants shown, I'd say, oh, okay, maybe I won't preach this week. But it's great to be here. And we're just having a little bit of fun this morning. There's not too many of us, is there? But we're going to have a little bit of fun, if that's okay. which means I'm going to get you up making fools of yourselves, if that's okay. And don't worry, I will pick on Simon. So, we're going to do a little bit of a drama this morning, with your help. I need some chairs for this. In fact, I need five chairs, so some couple around the back here. I'll have. We've got some more, thank you, Jeff. So we have three at the back here. There we are, one with arms there. All right. And I have to get my notes for this, I don't want to get this wrong. Okay, so what do we know that's got two seats in the front and three seats in the back? Car. That's right, very good. So we have our car. Okay. It's a very nice car, you can see. Purple, to everybody's taste, of course. And we're going to be telling a little story today about... oh dear, sorry. About a man called Simon, surprisingly enough. Okay, so nobody knows this, but we're going to need quite a few actors this morning, so please be ready. Okay. Now, Simon, would you like to act out the character called Simon? Come on then, Simon. Now, this is Simon's car, and as you can see, Simon opened the door, and in he gets. It's a right-hand drive UK car. you see, he's got a steering wheel there, adjust the mirror, that's right, Simon. Check side mirrors as well. Now, Simon had been driving and driving, and driving was fun. Simon had been driving for a long time. he hadn't crashed into anything. Simon had been driving for a long time, but he couldn't seem to get anywhere. His car was old, and it finally broke down. And Simon had to recognise that actually he was lost. And he shouted out to anyone who would listen. He did shout, help. Help, I'm lost. I'm broken down. Okay. And along comes a man and his name is True Friend. Who should we have? Should we have Chris? Chris, come on, you can be True Friend. Come on. True Friend comes along. and he says, hello, Simon. And he says, I've got something for you. I've got something amazing for you. And he gives Simon a brand new car. Here you go. And he gives him the keys to the car. And he says, it's yours. And he says, this car will take you where you need to go. Now, True Friend gets in and he says, I'll drive. True Friend starts to drive the car. Simon gets in the passenger seat and he says, well, wow, this is great. And he says, do you know what? It's great to have a friend. Someone who knows the way. and they have a lot of great times together, laughing, talking, sharing what they really think. But one day, Simon says, do you know what, True Friend? He says, I think I'd like to drive again. And he says, but you can still do the directions, don't worry, because I know you're the only one who knows where to go. But I'd like to drive. So, true friend gets kicked out of the car and has to get in the passenger seat. True friend says, it would actually be better if I drove. But Simon said, you can still read the map. And for a while, they drive along quite nicely and things seem okay. Here we go. Now, as they're driving along, Simon spots somebody else. This guy is called Mr. Funny. Oh, look, Joel. Joel's at the back there. Come on. Come on, Joel. Mr. Funny. Mr. Funny comes, and do you know what? He makes Simon laugh so much. And Simon says, come on, get in the car, Mr. Funny. And while he's in the back, he starts telling Simon jokes, which is quite amusing. And Simon remembers all these jokes and retells them to everybody else. Simon loves this so much that he says, Mr. Funny, why don't you come up in the front seat? And he says, look, true friend, I still really love you. I think you're great and you still know the where to go, but you can navigate from the back. So go on, get in the back there. Okay. After a bit more driving, Mrs. Exciting turns up. Ooh. Roof. Mrs. Exciting. Now, Simon says, come on, come and get in. I need some excitement in my life. And she gets in. And you know what? Simon gets a little bit bored of Mr. Funny's jokes because he's heard them all before and he shared them all. And so he says, Mrs. Exciting, come and sit in the front seat with me. And he says, go and get in the back seat there, Funny. But, you know, I still need a laugh, so stay with me. Okay. Now, things are really exciting. And Mrs. Exciting says, go on, go a bit faster. And Simon loves that. So off they go. After a while, two more people, Mrs. Education, Karina, and Dr. Career, Pete, turn up. And they're quite good friends and they work together. Now, Simon feels like there's some things missing in his life and he wants to climb that ladder. And so he says, look, Mrs. Exciting, can you go and sit in the back? Okay, and Mr. Career and they both get in the front seat together. It's a little bit packed. There you go. And off they go, and things are great. And now, Mrs. Career, she says she knows a better way to go. No, it's Mrs. Education and Dr. Career. They know a better way to go, and they tell Simon, why don't we go this way? And a true friend in the back is saying, no, I don't think that's the way you should go. But Simon says, well, I think I know better. I've been driving this car a long time now. And so off they go, and they keep travelling, and they keep travelling. And then, suddenly, somebody else comes along. She's called Beautiful Woman. Woo! And Simon jams on the brakes. Who can we have? Who should we have? Miriam? Come on, Miriam, come on. And well, what does what does Simon do? Well, he says, right, Career and Education, you need to get in the back seat. Go on, in the back seat. Beautiful Woman, she's definitely going in the front. So everybody, you need to move along. Well, do you know what? There's not that much room. So Simon says, true friend, go and get in the boot. Go and get in the boot. Go on, get in there. Still want you on board, but there's not really that much room for you. There needs to be a place for everybody else. All right, so in you get. That's it, good. And let's keep going. Now. Now, guess what? Things are great for Simon at the moment. He's got the whole package, right? He's got the whole package. And a beautiful woman makes him more happy than any of the other things. wait a second. Somebody else has come along. Oh, look. Chris. Family member. Oh, family member comes along. And guess what? Family member's got lots of things to say about everything. In fact, family member insists on sitting in the front with beautiful woman and Simon. Family member knows exactly where to go. Family member knows exactly where to go and doesn't care what anybody else says about anything. Now, Simon can hardly hear himself think at this point, and he's driving along. He's getting tired, and he doesn't know which way to go. And guess what? He's starting to lose control of the car. Family member's bumping him a little bit by this point. And guess what happens? The car crashes. I think there's more people on the stage than there is in the audience. The car crashes. Oh, dear. And Simon is left standing there. Now, true friend gets out of the boot. Where's true friend? And he comes out and he has a talk with Simon. And when Simon sees true friend again, he realises, you knew where to go, didn't you? I didn't listen to you. I really should have listened. True friend helps him fix up the damage to his car with a little bit of help from John, an insurance claim. And it's a write-off, is it? Not for true friend, he redeems it. And a man says, maybe I should let you drive. And true friend gets in the driver's seat. A man kicks everybody else in the back. No, he sits in the press. Yeah, go on, get in the boot. Right, the end. Everyone, round of applause. Fantastic. Well done, everyone. That was great. And take a couple of them back. That's great. So what we can see, I mean, I hope the story made sense to you there. Now, Simon, who does Simon represent? All of us. And what does his car represent? It represents his life and all that is within him. And who does true friend represent? Jesus, that's right, Tracy. Love it. So we see that Jesus can't be an add-on in our lives. Is that right? He can't be an add-on. He can't be an extra. He can't be a bit part. He can't even just be in the front seat with us. When we choose for Jesus, we've got to let him drive. Okay? And I want you to think about these things. And I want you to think, well, Lord, have I taken over? Have other things taken over? Have other people in my life taken over? Has my career and all the things I'm doing taken over? Am I chasing after other things? Like excitement and that sort of thing. I hope you enjoyed that. But there's a truth in it. In our lives, there's a driving force. Am I right? I don't know about that in your life. What is the driving force of your life? And that's the title of my sermon this morning. What is the power in your life? What do you have to do? What drives you forward? What makes your decisions for you? What do you get up in the morning saying, I have to do this. This is part of who I am. I have to. Are you a driven person? Are you being driven forward? And you might say, well, I am a driven person, yes. Well, I would say to you, well, what is driving you? I want you to think about this for a moment, because this can be quite a deep subject in some ways. It's a little bit of self-analysis in some ways, but we've got to look at our own hearts, haven't we? And we've got to look at what the Lord is saying to us. And when we come on a Sunday, we want the Lord to speak to us. And he speaks right into our hearts. And a lot of the time, he holds up a big mirror for us, doesn't he? And we go, oh, that's what I'm really like. Maybe I need to be a bit more like Jesus. So don't be afraid of that this morning. You know, don't be afraid to have a little look. You don't have to be condemned. You can be convicted. That's different. That's where God takes you on into something new, and you say, oh, I see what I'm like, and I want to be more like Jesus, and I can see how God's going to do it in me. So let's have a little think. What drives you? Well, I'm driven to help people. Yes, yeah, okay, fair enough. But why is that? And this is the thing. Some people are driven by their ego. It drives what they do. Some people, they are driven by guilt. And you may know some of these people. It might be you. But they do a lot of things because they feel guilty. Not because they think, oh, I should do it. I should help out people. The things I've done, I should help, you know, and I should do this. And they're driven. And they're driven by guilt. And there's other people. And the driving force in their life can be fear. And it doesn't always look like that on the surface sometimes, but it is the driving force behind. Oh, we must always protect ourselves. We must think about insurance. We must think about this. We must think about that. I've got to be in control of everything. I need to know what's happening. Well, why? What's driving that in your heart? Could it be fear? And some of us, driven by our more base desires, by sin. Some of us can be driven. I just want to be fulfilled. And I found this thing and I think it might be able to fulfill me. And therefore, I'm just going to chase after whatever fulfills me. Whatever gives me a bit of a high. I'm going to chase after that and I'm driven to be completed. What's driving you? What are you full of? And this is another thing, isn't it? What are you full of? Because whatever you are full of comes out, doesn't it? I just want to talk about power, because what drives you? It's power that drives you, isn't it? And what's the power in your life? What's the power for you to live your life? And this is something that we're going to be getting into over the next few months. Where does this power come from? What is this power? How can God's power be at work in my life? And I want you to think about power. And what has power over you? What power is in you? These are all quite deep things in some ways. But there is a power in you. And I want you to think about this. I want you to think about money. Money's power, isn't it? When I say money's power, money on its own is not worth anything. It's what you can do with it, right? It's what it allows you to do, or what it allows you to control. Well, I want to talk about something else, another type of power. And I'm going to talk a little bit of symbolism, if that's okay. So I'm going to talk in a little bit of symbolism. I want to talk about water as power. Okay? Now, you might say, well, water's not powerful, but it is. I want you to think about, what power do you have to keep going? Now, without water, you've got no power. You can go 40 days with no food. Some of us can, probably might drop dead at that far, but all I'm saying is you could do, but you can only go 3 days without water. The truth is you need to drink. You need to be filled. And you need to drink every day. Right? Without water, you've got no power. You're weak. I want you to think about this. If you're in the desert and you've got nothing, and I said, I'll give you £100,000 or a glass of water, what would you take? There's no shops in the desert. You need water. You need fresh water. Now, I want you to think about war for a second. If you're fighting a war and you go up and you go up to take the city, to take the castle, okay? Now, those walls are big. So what you do is you camp outside and you say, we'll flush them out. They'll run out of food and they'll run out of water. Okay? Now, if you've got no water within your city, then you're sitting duck. Am I right? If you've got no stream coming up in your city, then the enemy, you're going to have to surrender. Right? What you need is a stream. What you need is a well inside your city. And if you think about Jerusalem, correct me if I'm wrong, Simon. In Jerusalem, there was a well. A stream that came up. And they could withstand being attacked for long, long periods of time because there was a well within the city. And if you want to defeat Jerusalem, you've got to find the source of that well and you've got to block it up. And then you'll flush them out. But what I want you to do is I want you to think about your heart and your spirit in this way. Your heart and your spirit like a castle, like a city, like something to defend. Something, the jewel in the crown. Amen? Jerusalem in your heart. I want you to think about this. And I want to think, what is the power that you have in your city? Amen? I just want you to think about for this moment. Do you have a well streaming up within you that sustains you? Or you've got to keep going outside of the city to get what you need to keep going? Does that make sense? Have you got to keep going out into this world to be filled? Have you got to keep watching television to be happy? Have you got to always be listening to other people's sermons to be happy? Have you always got to go to this and go to that and be filled and come on Sunday and get filled up and the rest of the week you get drained? Is that your life? I want you to think about it, because God has got something more for you than that. That's a starting place. But God has got more. He wants to put a well within you. What did he say? What did he say to the woman at the well? Will you look it up? Anyone know where it is? It's 4, chapter 4. What is it? Which book is it? John. John 4. Yeah, look it up. Here we go, verse 13. John 4, verse 13. This is what Jesus says to the woman at the well. Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. Amen? Everybody know about that? Everybody knows what it's like to thirst. Okay? I'm talking about spiritual thirsting. Where you come and you find God in a place like this, or another place, or whatever. But you come and you find God's presence. And you feel full and you feel great, but then you go away and you feel thirsty again. I feel like that. Let's see what Jesus says. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become a spring of water welling up to eternal life. This is just the first reference. I looked up, there's 5 or 6 like this in the Bible. They talk about a well within you springing up. And this is the fantastic knowledge that we have. This is the fantastic gift that Jesus gives, and only Jesus gives, a well within you. Not a power that you keep having to buy in. Does that make sense? From outside, from the shop, from this, from that, from that. This is a power that will be within you and come out and feed others. And as we move forward with this church over these next few months, we want to talk about the Holy Spirit. Okay? This is what we're going to be talking about. Because it's the power within you. It's the driving force within you. Now, I'm getting quite excited about this as I read more and more. But we need to understand that if you need power to live your life, it's the Holy Spirit. I mean, you can get washed, you can have your sins forgiven, but to keep sustaining it, you're going to need some other power in your life that sustains you, that keeps you going, that drives you forward, that gives you energy and purpose and power to keep moving. And I'll tell you right now, it's the Holy Spirit. He is the answer, the Holy Spirit. It's what's the best way to describe that? The Holy Spirit is Jesus within you. Jesus on the inside. That's what the Holy Spirit is. Not just Jesus speaking to you from outside, but it's Jesus speaking up through you. When you're at home, when things go wrong. And you want to talk about power to live. Well, I do. I want to talk about power to live because my testimony is a man who had no power to live. A man who knew how to do all the Christian things and look the right way, but had no power to sustain it when he was on his own. That's my testimony. The basic testimony of me is I messed up every turn. Too much power there. Lectern's falling apart. Don't worry about it. It's okay. There we go. Now, that's my testimony. Someone who just had no power to be in self-control. No power to really love other people. Maybe to smile and say the right things at times, but not the power to really love people. Power over sin? Not really, not much. Not my own. I could try. I could last a couple of days, but I'd always fall back into the same things. Because there was no power there in me. I was always defeated. But really, since the Holy Spirit started working in my life, there's a power there. Is it easy? Not always. No. Do I slip up? Yes, sometimes. But do I live in the victory? Yes. Over sin? Yes. Might lose a couple of battles, but I'm winning the war. And I want you to think like that. Because there is actually a stream of living water within my heart that wells up. And I can say, do you know what? Instead of me focusing on beating sin all the time and living in that horrible place, I've got better things to be doing. That's the honest truth. The thing that defeated sin in my life was God gave me purpose. God gave me things to do. And through the Holy Spirit, he guides me and he shows me these things. And I say, well, I haven't got time for sin. I've got too much to be doing for the Lord. And that's the truth. That's the power of God in me through the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to talk to you about what about things like this? You might say, well, I'm okay on my own. This is what I need. What about power to make the right decisions when parenting my children? I need the Holy Spirit. What about when they're lying? How do I know? Well, the Spirit discerns all things. Jesus, what does it say about Jesus? It says he knew what was in their hearts. More than one time it says that. Now, if Jesus is living in you and springing up a well in you, you will have the power to discern these things. And you'll say, no, I'm not going with that person because I just don't feel right about that. I know what's in their hearts. Do you see what I'm saying? When your children are lying to you, you'll know. Because the Spirit is registering with you. It's springing up in you. The Spirit of God. power to love your partner in your relationship. Well, sometimes there's something different springing up in me. Who feels that sometimes? Sometimes there's anger spilling up in me. Sometimes there's unforgiveness springing up in me. But if you get the Holy Spirit, see, what does Jesus say on the cross? Oh, Father, forgive them. Well, I need Jesus springing up in me. Well, this is the power of God springing up in you. Because when the Holy Spirit is in you, springing up, you will say that. You might not want to say that, but you'll say, oh, I've just got to forgive. I've just got to forgive. Why? Because you're driven to forgive. Amen? Now, this is what I think of the Christian life without the Holy Spirit. I wrote them down on my sheet of paper. It's like if you were out on the plains of Africa and you was a gazelle, it'd be like being hamstrung. It'd be like a limping gazelle. Yeah, you might be in the pack, and when you're in the pack, it's all right. But once the pack speed up, you're done for, right? If you've got hamstrung and you're a gazelle, that lion's coming for you and he's going to get you. And that's the Christian life without the Holy Spirit. You've not got enough power to run the race. Amen? It's like being a lion. It's like being a lion who's got to eat. No teeth. No claws. No eyeballs. Can't even see where you're going. And this is like trying to live the Christian life without the Holy Spirit. You need it. You need it. You need it. Sorry, I'm blowing on the mic there. So I just want you to consider what power is in me. And I'm just going to do a little demonstration just to reinforce some of the things I've been talking about. Now, we've been talking about water. Now there's some water in here, right? I don't know what it is. Coke's like about 50, 60% water. And then there's some other stuff in there. Okay? But maybe it is a bit of Jack Daniels. Think about that, like your heart, like your kingdom. The kingdom of your heart, that this bottle. Okay? Now when you don't know God... It's not fresh living water living inside of you, is it? It might make a little bit of a pop and a fizz. It might taste good to others sometimes. But the truth is, it's black. And you know it. You know, when you come into the presence of the Lord and your life is... Have you got sin in your life? Don't you know it? Because you can't. And you try to stand there and you say, oh, I just want this worship to be over as quickly as possible. That's the truth. Because you know that you're not right. And yet you know that the Lord's the only one who can deal with it. But sometimes what we like to do is we say, well... oh, things are okay. All right, things are okay. No, I'm all right. How are you? Fine. How are you fine? You're not fine. But we cover up, don't we? We cover up. Just like that. How are you? Fine. Great. Yeah, everything's great. Got a new job. Yeah, things going well. You know, and you list off all the things that are going well for you. But the truth is, underneath, there's something else. Okay. Now, when you meet Jesus, and I'm going to keep this basic, I don't want to get too caught up in different theologies and different doctrines and all that sort of thing. I'm just going to try and keep it really simple. When you meet Jesus and you get before him and you say to him, Lord, guess what? You can see through in my bottle and you know I'm a mess. I mean, you've got to get to that point. I mean, there's lots of people that say, Oh yes, I'm a Christian. Look, no, no, it's, look at my bottle. I'm okay. It's all right, isn't it? But really, we have to say, and then some more of us do this. We go, oh, well, look, well, there's a little bit of darkness, but I'm sort of all right. You know, go on then, God, if you could just deal with those little bits that are sort of acceptable, you know. And so, Jesus, in all his wonderful grace, says, all right, I'll take those things out of you. And we're always like this, oh, things are great, aren't they? I'm doing really well again. But God always does this, doesn't he? I know what's here. And we have to get absolutely honest with Jesus Christ, don't we? That's the truth. We can't just have a little bit of honesty. We've got to get absolutely, and I love that word, absolutely honest with Jesus Christ. We have to say, look, this is everything. This is everything. Okay? And if we do that, he doesn't go, oh, that's a bit bad, isn't it? Oh, you're going to have to do some penance over that. You're going to have to be really good for a couple of weeks before we can talk again. That's not God's heart, is it? That's not him at all. That's not his character. He says, all right, fine, let's deal with it. And he cleans us right out. All right, I love Coke. So I'll keep that for later. I won't really. I don't love sin. No, no, no. Okay, and we're like this. Yeah, I'm clean. Everything's great. Yes, yes, clear. Feel wonderful. And then we can join in with the worship and things are great. Aren't they? And then we can go home and we can feel a little bit empty. I don't know about you, we feel a bit empty. Oh, but I'm a Christian now. God set me free. He's got rid of all the sin. I'm empty. And you know what? Oh, I'm going to get this wrong, aren't I? It's an awful job. Things can start to creep back in again. Oh no. It's creeping back in again. But God set me free. Oh, and we go back to God and we say, like, oh God. And this is my testimony. Oh look, I'm starting to fill up again with sin. Can you deal with it? Oh, and that's a painful process, isn't it? Having to reveal all your sin over and over again every time. And you think, oh God, surely you've had enough of me. I'm back here again. I'm back here again. I'm back here again with more sin. And God, in all his grace, through Jesus Christ, what does he do? He clears us out again, doesn't he? He empties that bottle and we're right again. Amen? Now, the problem is you can carry on like that, but you've got nothing in you. You've got nothing welling up in you. Yes, you've met Jesus. Yes, you've been set free. But you've got no power in your life to keep moving forward, to sustain you. And so what happens is you keep going back into the old things. You're a new man, or you're a new woman, but you keep going back into the old things. And you think, oh, God, I don't even know if this is real. It is real, but you're missing something. You're missing that spring of water welling up to eternal life in your heart, the Holy Spirit. Okay? Now, another little demonstration. I just need to get rid of that last little bit. Just for fun. Now, the Christian who is full of nothing, trying, but just sort of, what power does he have in him? When the enemy comes against him, what happens? He gets the stuffing knocked out of him, right? Who's ever felt like that? You know, I've just been side smacked by the devil and I just got no power and I'm just going to go back into the old things. We can feel like that, can't we? And yet what we need to do is we need to say to God, God, I need you to fill me. I need you to put something inside of me. I need to have your power in me every day. Okay? And let's get these bits up, shall we? See what we can do here. Oh, just trying to be a little bit visual because it's easier to remember, isn't it? Visual learning and all that. And the Lord will fill you up. He'll fill you up. He'll fill you up. And one day you'll just be overflowing. You'll be overflowing with His Spirit. Amen? Now, you might say to me, well, where's the power? Well, the power is what's in you. Okay? Now, if God is in you, you have power in your life. So when the enemy comes to attack this man, bounces off. Now, if that went wrong, that would have been not very funny for the sound equipment. But do you see what I'm saying? If you've got God's Spirit in you, you have got strength to deflect what the devil is doing. So what do we need to pray? What do we need to pray? We need to pray, God, fill me with your Spirit. You know? How long have I been, Simon? I've been long. Joel? Okay, I'll stop there then. The Lord loves you. Now I've got one more verse for you, which I wrote down. Ephesians 5:18. Let's go and have a little look. Ephesians 5:18. It says, do not get drunk on wine, or Jack Daniels, like John said, which leads to debauchery. He says, instead, be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. And this is the be, little word, be filled. That's not a get filled once. That's be filled. Keep being filled. Keep being filled. Let's go and have a look. Acts 13:52. Quickly, just Acts 13:52. It says, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Okay? And if you read the KJV, it talks about being continually filled. And there's a sense where you've got to understand that just because you got filled yesterday doesn't mean you're filled today. You've got to go every day to the Lord. Say, fill me. Let Him wash over you. It's a sense of being filled. Does the Bible not talk about being renewed? I will have my mind be renewed by the Holy Spirit. That's what it talks about. And we've got to be those people that don't beat ourselves up, but just keep going back to the Lord and say, all right, Lord, you revealed something new to me about my character. And it isn't great. But you know what? Fantastic, because now I can be a bit more like you. Not, oh, I'm rubbish. But isn't this great? I can be a bit more like God. Be renewed, okay? Now, I want us to pray together. What I'd like you to do is I'd just like you to take a few moments just to think about yourself and what's been driving you recently. What's really been driving you? What's the power in your life? And I want you to think, maybe am I a little dry? Am I a little filled with sin? Or am I just a little bit empty? You might just be running on empty and you need the Lord to fill you. Okay? Either way, the Lord's here, and you know what? His heart is to fill you up and clean you out. He's seen it all before. So what I want you to do, I'm going to take a few moments, and then if you know the Lord's just tapping on your heart, or there's something that I've said today that's really come from the Lord, then I just want you to stand up. We won't look around, we'll just keep our eyes closed. Just stand up and then pray in our own hearts. Is that okay?